Morning, everybody. We're gonna try to keep some sort of a schedule this morning. I hope everybody's got their little dictionary with them. We need to keep that for a while until we get so familiar with it that we'll instantly recognize these key words when we go through Proverbs. Before we get started, I'm going to ask Ray if you would open this class with a prayer.
Let's get about most holy, I want to have that Father. Again, we approach that throne. We want to thank you for your Son, King Jesus, and thank you for our earliest existence from the creation. I pray, Heavenly Father, for those who are here in the presence this morning. I want to pray for those who are members of this congregation are unable to be here because of their health. I pray, Heavenly Father, all the things you say and do, but please, and touch them in my sight. Give our teacher a ready recollection of the things he's prepared. Watch over us and keep us. This is my prayer, Lord, in your Son's name, King Jesus. Amen.
Okay. What's this, our third class of succession that we've had on Proverbs? I don't expect anybody to be any smarter because of that, but I believe you're a little wiser because of that. God promises if we study Proverbs, that we'll be wiser. There's some in here who are probably wiser than others. Why would that be? Yeah.
Some would call it the school of hard knocks.
Mm-hmm. From experience. Right. Wisdom through Proverbs is going to directly come from how hard, how much, how steadfast you put into it. If you desire it like you do treasures, if you desire it like you do money, if you desire it like you do gold, you're going to get wisdom like you never believed. But you got to desire it. And that means you got to put out the effort. We all desire it, by the way. Mm-hmm. But then you got to put out the effort to do it. Okay, I'm going to try to. There's a few verses left in chapter 1 I want to cover before we go on to chapter 2. But first of all, up until the 23rd verse in chapter 1, does anybody have any questions? Anything they didn't understand? Or anything maybe we could reword so that you would have a good understanding of what God intends for us to get out of the first chapter? Look it over, because this is the key. You want to be able to put into words what God has put into words. And then when we get through this class, you're going to understand God's mindset of how He wants us to live in this world of ours. Okay, let's go to verse 23 to the end, because the end of chapter 1 is kind of harsh if you turn your back on God. And so I'll go ahead and we'll read that and then we'll come back. It says, Turn ye at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make known to you my words. God is talking to you directly. He says, won't you listen to me now? Listen to me. He said, because I have called and ye have refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regardeth it. But ye have set at naught all my counsel and with none of my reproof. I also will laugh in the day of your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh as a storm, and your calamity cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then you will call upon me, but I'll not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of Jehovah. They would take none of my counsel. They despise all my reproof. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own device. For the backsliding of the simple shall slay them, and the careless ease of fools shall destroy them. But, in 33, whosoever hearketh unto me shall dwell securely, and shall be quiet without fear of evil. There is a time of no return. There is a point, and with the doors are shut. You remember the parable of the bridegrooms? Those who were late, the door was shut, they come pounding on the door. You can't come in. You can't come in. Pardon?
Before you,
go ahead.
I always think about Saul, First King. How he couldn't even go to God anymore. He was so, well, disobedient to his word. And God kind of turned his back on him.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't go to him. That's a sad thing to you. You can't go to the Lord. You don't have anything else where you can go.
Mm-hmm.
That's bad. It's sad. That's all I want to mention.
When Jesus gave the parable of the unfaithful servant, remember the guy who hid it in the ground, he says, get away from me. He says, you go into darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Mm-hmm.
There was just no hope at that time. So, well, if I'd just known of, I thought this, the words that we can spit out of our mouth for alibis, God will not accept it. He knows your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Chuck.
And these words that are written for our knowledge are also for everyone's knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
No one is exempt. No one is exempt. Either by position, by wealth, by knowledge, by degree, no one is exempt. When you turn, you turn. And again, all of that is by your choice. Every one of us is responsible for our actions. Whether we turn from God, whether we run from God, whether we hate God, whether we say things in His name that is derogatory, we are responsible. And there is a point, again, which all of the world, all of us, will have to give an account. All of us. And no one is exempt. Some people like to throw out that compassion card. Well, my God won't do that. Excuse me. Because He is righteous, He must do that. He will do that.
When God looks down on this earth and He sees that all who are going to come to Him have come, those that haven't come to Him are lost. There'll be no last minute things. I change my mind, God, if I won't do that. No. I want to go back to this. I will pour out my spirit upon you. That was in verse 23. Of course, he's talking about the Holy Spirit here. And we emphasized in the very first part of the first chapter, Paul told us that Christ indeed is our wisdom. And we found that in 1 Corinthians 1:30.
Mm-hmm.
And also in the teaching of the divine word in John 7:38 and 39, Jesus speaking says, he who believes in me, out of his heart will pour flow the rivers of living water. So the Spirit will come after that, after Jesus spoke that. After Jesus spoke that, then we did get that through the Holy Spirit. So we have indeed gotten the Holy Spirit to help us where they did not have that in the Old Testament. So we really don't have any excuses, to be honest with you. If we turn our back on God now, there is no hope for us. So now, go ahead, Professor.
I just wanted to add, along with what Chuck was saying, made me think about the fact that we don't have no excuse. Even people that don't attend a church or don't go to church on a regular basis or whatever, we consider them as worldly people. But what we went through last week, it's sayings that is in the world that coincides with the same thing that God said. It's like what we were talking about in the last week about don't go with the people that want to lie in wait and do evil to other people. The world has a saying that says what goes around comes around.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to do something, it's gonna come back to you. Like the Bible says, you reap what you sow.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're seeing here, the world says, you make your bed hard, you're gonna lay in.
Mm-hmm.
So if you continue going the way in which you want to go, at a certain time, you're gonna, you know, it is no coming back. It is no, I changed my mind, oh, wait a minute, you know. It's like, you refuse on your own, like he was saying. It's your choice. So, you do it to yourself.
We just need to continue to pray to God we keep our soul mobile so that he can handle it. Because we, even in old age, in fact, sometimes mainly because of old age, we get set in our ways.
Mm-hmm.
We get set and say, yeah, I'm right and I don't need this no more. I'm going. Wise in your own words, and we're going to hit many a proverb because of that, by the way, where you think you're wise in your own words. Yeah, Chuck.
Romans 1, verse 18 through 20. I'd like to share
with you. Go ahead.
The wrath of God. Ooh, are you sure? So think about that. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the ungodliness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse.
When you say the wrath of God, and we're going to cover quite a few of these sins in Proverbs that are abominations to God. And I can't imagine us thinking we can live comfortably with that sin in our life, that it's an abomination to God. If it's an abomination to God, we have no hope. You know, we have no hope. We got to get rid of that sin out of our life. Somebody turn to, I think it's Deuteronomy 22:5. It's pertinent to this day, to what we're going through this day. And it's one of those abominations to God. Somebody turn to that, if you would. Deuteronomy 22:5. I think that's it.
A woman must not wear men's clothing, nor a man wear women's clothing, for the Lord your God detests anyone who does it.
My Bible says it's an abomination to God.
Yes.
So who was that? Deuteronomy
22:5.
Yeah, is that pertinent today or not?
Okay.
That's out of the Old Testament.
He has made it plain. He has made it plain.
No, we have no excuse anymore.
No,
no, I know it. Well, some of us claim ignorance, you know, but even that's not an excuse anymore.
That's right.
Okay. Any other thing in chapter 1? Because I want to make sure that as we go through these chapters that we've kind of put it in our mind so that when it comes up, we say, well, God said this about my choosing friends. What kind of friends should I have? That we put it into our own words and it comes to us so that we don't have to say, I forgot that. Because he'll repeat it so many times in this book that it'd be hard to forget too. All right, chapter 2. This actually is changed from stuff I've read. It presents the five fruits of wisdom, and they are the seeker shall find God. That's one of the fruits. Wisdom provides many precious rewards. That's number 2. God's man is delivered from evil. That's number three. He is safe from harlotry. And this is where we start to get on that sin. And he will receive a special inheritance, those things that God has promised that he's going to give us as children of his. Now, so the first eight verses that cover the number one there, that the seeker shall find God. Starts off again with my son. This occurs 13 times in the first five chapters, my son. But remember, it's my daughters. Remember, it's all of us. Mm-hmm. It's hopefully what he's saying here is that you're young enough that you'll become wise so that you don't have to struggle when you get old. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and lay up my commandments with thee, so as to incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. And again, remember, we got dictionary on how we regard wisdom and understanding. If they cry for discernment, we got a word there. And lift up your voice for understanding, again, common sense. If thy seeker is silver, very precious, and search for her as hidden treasures, very precious, thou shalt understand the fear of Jehovah and find the knowledge of God. For Jehovah giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to them that walk with integrity, that he may guard the paths of justice and preserve the way of saints. Remember, I told you that God will repeat that, my son, starting in the first, seven times in the first chapters of Proverbs. Of course, you got the impression here that when he says my son, he's talking to someone younger, so he's talking to a younger person here. Incline thy ear to wisdom, thy heart to understanding. Wisdom and understanding, I told you, understanding is one of the facets of wisdom. So we start now, he's going to be bringing up the very facets as we go along. But he also said, yea, if ye cry after knowledge. You want knowledge so bad. Don't say it so bad. If you want knowledge so much that you would literally cry for God, please give me wisdom. I want wisdom, God. I want to make the right choices. And if you're earnest and sincere about it, it's indicated by these words, and you've got to search for it. You got to search for it without abandon. You got to put in some effort to get this wisdom. And you got to compare it to the values of something very precious, something that men kill for, something that men strive for, some men that devote their whole lives to seeking how to get more money, or how they're going to get rich. He says, then, when you strive for it that much, thou shalt understand the fear of Jehovah and find the knowledge of God. Remember, you cannot get wisdom without the fear of Jehovah. God has got to come first. Not a terror fear, not a fear of him will strike you to death, but an awesome respect for God. That every time his name is mentioned, you've got him up here. And you think, when he speaks, I'm going to listen. When he speaks, he's in doubt, and he's never going to lie to me.
Amen.
When he promised me something, I'm going to get it. I'm anxious for somebody to put it into their own words, because I want to hash this around to the 6 minutes now. Yeah, go ahead, Chuck.
I recently read this, and I'm trying to remember where I read this. There was a young man who came to his mentor and saying, my life, my walk with God is not where it needs to be. And so the mentor asked him, well, meet me at this river. And so they went to the river. And then he walked him into the river. Then all of a sudden, the mentor had grabbed the young man and pushed his face under the water. and he was struggling, slapping the ground, slapping the water, and flailing. And then after a few seconds, the mentor brought him back up, and then the young man was and trying to catch his breath. Says, "What are you doing? You know, why did you do that?" And then the mentor, in a calm voice, said, "While you were under the water, what was the most important thing that came to your mind? I need air. Once you develop that desire for God, your walk will be straight."
Mm-hmm. I just need air.
The desire. I mean, and the story being that we know we need air. That's very important in our lives. But the word from God is more important, and that once we realize that at God's spoken word, air was created. Again, not just the only thing, but again, how powerful God is.
There are two equal coefficients for us getting wisdom. Would you understand that? One of them is our efforts, the effort that we put out. How bad do we want it? And then we've got to have God's assistance after that. But if we show him our efforts, we know we got his assistance. He promised us in you too. So you got one that's a sure thing. The other thing depends on us. How bad do we want wisdom? How bad?
It kind of reminds me of when Kathy and I used to ride our bicycles, and it was hard getting up to the top of that hill. I mean, it was hard. And we would push, and we would keep going, and change gears, take deep breaths, and keep going, and finally get to the top. And when we got to the top and looked down, momentum took over. Isn't that like the same way with God, our relationship with God? Got to get there. Well, when you get there, God's momentum's going to take you through the rest.
And you went on a motorcycle then.
We were on a tandem. Yeah, we were pedaling, pushing.
To show you how this works, you know, and give you some illustrations, God gave the city of Jericho to Joshua, but it was necessary for Joshua and his soldiers to obey God's instructions so they could get it. God gave manna to Israel in the wilderness, but they had to go out and gather it up. Christ gave the blind man to see, his sight to see, but he had to go wash in the pool. So God will do his part, but we've got to do our part. I mean, he's given us too many examples of that. He will do that. God gives men wisdom, but you've got to diligently go after. It's given to us on condition. We've got to desire as much as we do worldly things, such as treasures.
That concept is just baffling to me, how hard that is for people to accept or understand. You know, faith only. Faith that our works is dead. Noah was a man of God. If he didn't build that ark, he'd have drowned with the rest of us.
That's right. That he may preserve the way of the saints, and verse 8, only in the book of Proverbs, by the way, you might want to walk this down, is the word of saints.
What is it?
It's verse number 8, only in the book of Proverbs do we find that this word used to mark the word of saints. He calls us saints.
Mine says faithful one. Huh? My version says faithful one.
Faithful one.
Oh, mine is wrong. Excuse me. Whoa, that's it. Whoa.
Okay.
Faith.
Verses 9 through 11, this is where rich rewards are given to those who get wisdom. Does anybody have any questions or want to reword it in there? Way the first 8 verses. Okay. These are the rewards. Then thou shalt understand. And what do we mean by understand? then you'll gain common sense. Okay. Then they will understand righteousness and justice and equity. They're the three virtues that God puts out there that guides all of it. But wisdom shall enter into the heart, okay? God says you're going to get it. You're going to get wisdom into your heart. And knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Knowledge is all information out there, all factual information out there. That's knowledge. Anything you learn is factual. It's factual as knowledge. Discretion shall watch over thee. That means using all these words in your dictionary. What is discretion? Knowing when and where.
Appropriate.
Uh-huh. Understanding will keep thee. Understanding? Common sense. Common sense. Those three verses there. Men must appreciate wisdom in order to profit by it. You've got to have appreciation that it's a better way to live. It's a godly way to live. And so you've got to understand. Anybody got any questions on those three verses we just read there?
I think it's one of the most important things that we're going to get out of that is the fact that to learn wisdom is good, but the only way to be useful to you is you got to put it into practice. Mm-hmm. Because if you're not, even though you know it, you understand it, you got good sense, but you don't use good sense, then you're just as bad as a person that don't have good sense.
Just like Dougie said, faith without works.
Yes, yes.
It's a lot to you. Yeah, Chuck.
Yeah, our challenge always is that once we learn to do better, we need to keep that. Mm-hmm. We need to keep that. Once you come to the understanding that and realize that the way that I've been acting or performing, or even lack of, has not been the right way. You need to stay away from that. Because once you gain that understanding, keep that understanding. Mm-hmm. That's our challenge. Because we love to have an extra dollop of Cool Whip when we know we shouldn't be having an extra dollop of Cool Whip.
And it's not a matter of getting smarter, it's a matter of getting wiser.
Making better choices?
Cool Whip won't hurt you if it's done in moderation. Because, but it is if you take it to the sense. Alright, verses 12 through 15. This is where God is, man's going to be delivered from the evil. To deliver thee from the way of evil, from the men who speak perverse things. Remember that. You hang around people long enough who got evil and out of their mouth some sinful things, who forsake the path of righteousness to walk in the way of darkness. We have no part of darkness. We're children of light. We have no part of darkness. Who rejoice to do evil. Who's that sound? What kind of people are they? In the Hebrew, it had two words for what kind of people who rejoice in doing evil.
Peccatories.
Peccatories is the people who sin. We all sin. We all fit the peccatories. We ask God to forgive us. But people who rejoice, who get to life, and do evil things and think evil things and coerce or entice you to do evil things. The people that still have a chance until it's too late to the reach of point too late. Who rejoice to do evil and delight in the perverseness of evil. Who are crooked in their ways and wayward in their paths. So it's up to you and I to have enough God's common sense to know how to, we need to get away from these people. You might say, well, I'm going to try to convert them. Well, you can talk to them, but you don't hang around.
Right.
You don't hang around. You don't become part of them. Mm-hmm.
Jerry,
what's it, one more time. What's the problem with hanging around too long?
You'd be just like coming just like that.
They'll entice you. Yeah. You infected them, they'll entice you. Yeah, Kathy, go ahead.
With all the knowledge that we're getting, and that's good, I know that's good, comes kind of a sadness in the fact that you know what's right, and then now you know what's even more wrong, which was a little closer to your door than you thought. And you have to work hard to stay positive, because that is the world, that's the evil one doing those things. And you think, well, why isn't the rest of the world seeing what I'm seeing? And they know that what they do, that's going to be wrong. And seeing that flag across the street, and I'm thinking, oh, what were they thinking? You don't put a criminal in the White House? And then all this other thing that seems so obvious to the rest of us is just sad to us who know what's right. Mm-hmm. And then we're just going right back to, we could have Nero for our president, for Pete's sake. We could have Herod and all the evil things, the baby killing that he used to do. It's coming around again.
Mm-hmm.
So we need this wisdom, but we also need each other to uplift each other and not let this world pull us down. And I'm not trying to say that I'm depressed or anything like that. It's just frustrating.
Yes.
I'll get out, because I'm thinking, common sense would tell you not to do that. Common sense would tell you not to do that. But it's not there. It's just not frustrating.
And it's not just our society, by the way. Throughout ages,
yeah.
There's a lower level that's always been.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It always has been.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing it now because we're exposed to it so much better, or more, not better, but more,
right,
than they were then.
Mm-hmm.
But we're seeing that lower level rise up to the, they're not down at, they're coming on up.
They're not ashamed at all.
No.
Not
I agree with you. I think the hit's coming.
Oh,
it's got to come. We got to stop. We can't continue killing little babies.
Yeah, no.
We cannot do that.
No.
Yes, John.
One day closer, bud.
Huh?
One day closer.
Yeah. One day closer.
One day closer. And then we look forward to that day with joy and with great anticipation,
right,
and with happiness.
Right.
Because righteousness will prevail. God will prevail.
Mm-hmm.
God will keep his promise. And again, there's nothing new under the sun. Nothing new under the sun. I mean, when I think about the poor soul in Sodom and Gomorrah, now you talk about feeling lonely. I would think every thought we know as recorded in Scripture in that town. And again, we don't know how many people, but we can just imagine. Every thought was evil. Every. Yeah, and so again, there's nothing new in the sun. I mean, when
God created everything, he created all the birds and animals and us.
Mm-hmm.
He told every one of them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it.
Mm-hmm.
We were given a special place in this creation. This world is ours.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When Christ, our Lord and our God, sat on his throne, we were told that we would reign and rule with him.
Mm-hmm.
And we have chosen not to. The amount of evil that we see in this world today, the corruption that we have allowed, for a failure to reign and rule with him.
Mm-hmm.
It is our responsibility as Christians to rain and to fill the earth and subdue it. The commission was given. And that's our responsibility.
That's a lack of the knowledge of Scripture, because if churches that, you know, people need to speak up, the leaders need to speak up. But no, what do we see? We see leadership and pastors and preachers and ministers and churches of all types going with the flow.
Trying to bring them in.
For the money.
So, yeah. And do the sheep protest?
No.
Why not? Well, maybe because they don't understand the Scripture and they just listen to what's being said.
I heard the figure yesterday, they cited as being true. One half of 1% of the people are in this woke, gay, transsexual. That's a whole population in this country.
It's not much at all.
They constitute one half of 1%. Mm-hmm. Well, look what they're getting on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the president went out there and celebrated with his gay pride the other day.
Mm-hmm.
But we failed God.
Yeah.
And I failed God. You know, you say, well, what can I do that's not against the law? You know, that God just wouldn't want me to do. I ponder over that. You know, I can voice it all I want to. Now, of course, I can vote, and I have. But that doesn't stop the killing of the babies.
It's also not just a matter of leadership. Leadership is very important. But if we as a people, to our core, you can't have righteous leadership coming from an unrighteous source. Mm-hmm. It has to be from the bottom up, a righteous source to righteous leadership.
Sure. Hey, one of the things that we pointed this out in the very beginning of Proverbs, we haven't handed down to our kids God's word like we're commanded to do by God. You know?
Mm-hmm.
We haven't handed that down. We haven't disciplined our kids to the point that we've whipped them enough to make them understand enough.
Yeah. And Jerry, we all see the corruption in the world. We can't change the world. The world's going to do what it want to do. The people in it are going to do what they want to do. But if you can touch one person, so are you trying at least to touch one person to tell them about God? That's our job. Yes, our job is to go out there. If you go out there and you can touch one person, you have done a good deed for the Lord. But are you doing at least that one person? And then you try to go on day by day, still yet touching one person, you know, in that day.
That's when the Lord will find out. If we did that, that's when the Lord can find out. Everybody's been tried. Everybody has been spoken to. Everybody has been taught. And yet they didn't refuse. And that's when God will.
And yet we still have to remember, like you said, we get older and we get set in our ways. And sometimes we don't come off to people in the way that God wants us to come off to them. Don't tell your opinion, because your opinion does not matter. Your opinion, nothing. You tell God's word and do it in love. Do it in love. Because if you do it, if you're aggressive and like you write and you got the fits going, you lost them. You have lost them. And you might not get them back. You go to them in love, show them in Scripture, and then you got to show how you are living as well. You can't be out there in the world. You can't be out there with your little flag, that's not a flag, a banner of God. You can't be out there doing that and then trying to tell them the word. But you always have to remember, you have to go to a person in love. And if the devil in you that day, and he making you want to say something bad, just try to close it up. Don't even say nothing. Because you're gonna lose. We are losing people because we are telling our thoughts. We are set in our ways. That we are so righteous. You had to give it to God's word because we are not all of that like that. We have to give it how God wants us to give it. And you have to pray for that tongue to bring it out right.
Yeah, this is the basis of wisdom and truth of God, the Bible. Mm-hmm. This is where it is.
Mm-hmm.
And when we go out to the world wants to change some things in there that, like, it's still a murder, it's abortion.
Yeah.
Not a murder. It's my right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's my right. It's my body. You know, they want to change that. They don't want to use the word abortion, but we let them do that.
Mm-hmm.
We let them substitute words. You know, they're just living together. No, they're not. They're fornicating.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to hear that.
That's right.
They don't want to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
You're right.
Listen to this. And I look at things as they are. People have really turned the back on God, many of them, including our apologists. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, God created man and woman. He created us in his image. He would like for us to act like we belong to him. But the problem I see, they want to separate God and use man's law over God.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going with that.
Yeah.
I think that we need to remain steadfast in God's word and follow what he said.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have a real problem with not just politics, but a lot of my enemies world that are doing things they shouldn't do. And don't have a clue even how to act around folks. I mean, they want to be seen. And all they talk about all the time is abortion this, abortion that. They need to get off of that. And the reason they need to get off of it is because it's murder. I mean, you don't have a right to take a life. A lot of them do. I always said, why take something you can't get back?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these people are some rubber paint minds out here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really concerned. Mm-hmm. And Proverbs is a book that will give you all the knowledge you need. Mm-hmm. It's one of them. Women, men. You know, so it's a great book.
Because we go through this and we discuss it, and it does look dismal today. Of course, it looks dismal to other people. But Proverbs is the most optimistic book you'll ever read. And you'll see it and feel it when you get through it. Because God tells you, if you've got my mindset, life is going to be so much greater for you. You go come here, you'll be happy as Kathy is. Because there's great joy in knowing that we're thinking like God.
Mm-hmm.
Or we're comprehending what God thinks and wants us to do. So it's a book of optimism, and we can, and we should talk about what's going on in the world today, because that's how we're going to be able to know how to handle what's going on in the world today. But you'll see it as we go through this. That's all for today. We're going to try to keep a schedule for this.
Good job, man.
We'll be back right here. We'll pick up on verse 16-19 in chapter 2 next time.
Thank you.
Thank you.